Today's episode is brought to you in collaboration with Ortocraft, a leading artisan workshop based in Ukraine. Ortocraft specializes in handcrafted accessories inspired by shamanic and tribal aesthetics, from intricate masks and ceremonial headdresses to full costume creations and professional body art. Every piece is an original design carefully handcrafted to bring dark myths into the physical world.
Prepare yourself for Earthling Entertainment, the perfect blend of paranormal and pop culture, with your host, Joe Wakefield and Ryan Lamb.
I love it. I'm a fan of this. I'm here for it.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Earthling Entertainment, with your hosts, Joe and Ryan.
That's right. I'm your host, who, if I ever become a genie and I get a choice, I want to come out of a little old metal lunchbox with like a cartoon or a 70s show.
Okay.
Not a lamp. Yeah. I've given it a lot of thought. Spacious. A lot of square feet.
Are you in like the little thermos?
Oh, no. The little thermos. You know what that's going to be? Jacuzzi. Or sauna. Ooh, it could be a sauna. Think about it, because it's already a tube. Have you ever seen a sauna? That's fine. Hi, I'm Joe Wakefield.
Hi, I'm Ryan, and I imagine that that's kind of like what it's like inside the Pokeball, right? Like, they've got like a little jacuzzi in there, and they got like all these, you know, I imagine it's like a whole thing. Didn't Robot Chicken did something on that?
You know what? I'm sure they did. And I'm just reminded of the times when I did like dioramas or played with Mighty Max, like the whole
yes.
intricate little like room. Haven't you always thought it'd be cool to shrink down and just interact with that stuff?
I mean, yeah, right? Like, dude, Mighty Max was awesome. I had so many Mighty Max.
See, if I was Ant-Man, if I was Scott Lang, not Ryan Lang, if I was Scott Lang from the MCU, I would absolutely have to shrink down and go into these little toy sets. But if you do that, I feel like I'd be disappointed. Like, the actual toy set would be way less intricate and detailed than we think it is when we're looking at it as us.
It looked pretty shabby up close. I mean, yeah. Those things were just kind of like cheaply made and distributed. But I mean, at the same time, I still got a bunch of them. So they last the test of time.
They did.
They don't make them like they used to. Those toys were awesome.
Hey, guys. So you might be wondering what it is we do on this show.
I know I am.
Well, I'm going to tell you. We're kind of a layer cake of paranormal and pop culture. We have a little thing we like to call spooky stuff, where we usually cover a cryptid, a ghost, a haunting, a myth, a legend, something like that. We have Earth Pop, which is pretty much our pop culture section. After that, we have Disclosure Discussion, which is all about aliens, followed and ended with Real World Weird. If something strange but not paranormal and actually happened, that's where it belongs, Real World Weird. And today is actually a really, really cool special day, and I'm going to tell you why. Now, you know what? Ryan's going to tell you why.
Today's episode is brought to you in collaboration with Ortocraft, a leading artisan workshop based in Ukraine. Ortocraft specializes in handcrafted accessories inspired by shamanic and tribal aesthetics, from intricate masks and ceremonial headdresses to full costume creations and professional body art. Every piece is an original design carefully handcrafted to bring dark myths into the physical world. On today's Spooky Stuff, we're covering the Chort, a sinister creature from Ukrainian folklore. Alongside Ortocraft's stunning custom interpretation of the being through costume design, makeup, and handcrafted creature work, their original look is a shamanic, brutal interpretation of the classic Ukrainian legend. But Ortocraft is more than just a brand. They're performers and visual storytellers. The team is currently developing a signature shamanic performance show that brings their costumes and body art to life on stage. A direct link to their shop is available in this episode's description, and be sure to check them out on Instagram at Ortocraft. That is at ORDACRAFT. So rejoice and enjoy this episode of Earthling Entertainment.
That's right. Rejoice, my friends.
I am rejoicing.
Oh,
this is my rejoicing stance.
I'm actually really excited about this because we've had, we've had obviously some guests that were celebrities, stuff like that. But
yeah,
crossing over with it, they're like, they do a whole cosplay team. Like it said, have you seen their pictures on Instagram?
Oh, I've seen a ton of them. You were sending me them, and they look awesome.
It's pretty cool.
Slap those dudes in the middle of any death metal music video, and you have magic. I'm just saying.
Fair enough. Well, guys, that's what's coming up in a little bit after a little bit of banter. I wanted to ask Ryan, do you remember a few weeks ago when I was saying on the show that I had applied for press passes for Motor City Comic Con?
Yes, you did.
Yeah, I didn't think we would actually get them. We hadn't actually done too many press stuff before, and it was like a week before because it's coming up this weekend. So yeah, it's actually tomorrow. Yeah, it's
That's
Friday.
Right.
It's Friday, sorry, Sunday. Well, anyways, they approved us.
Yay!
They approved us, and I don't know if we were on a waiting list or if they just do things a little later, but I was caught off guard that they told us a week before the event.
Hey, you know what? And no, it's so awesome.
Very
that,
excited
that they gave us this opportunity. Unfortunately, guys, I'm not going to be able to be there. Joe will be there in my stead, of course, and Lizzie as well, and maybe a couple guest stars will stop by on our crew. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. It should be a lot of fun. So, yeah, we will be covering this year's Motor City Comic Con, just talking to some vendors, hopefully talking to some celebrities, talking to comic book artists and all that stuff, and we're really excited to do it. So thank you from everyone at Motor City Comic Con for trusting us to do that, and we're really excited to share all the content with you guys.
Viewers/listeners, you guys are gonna have a blast. I'm so jealous. I wish I could go, but that's so cool that we get to be there. So please, guys, if you see Joe walking around, he's going to have an Earthling Entertainment microphone if you want to maybe talk to him. Maybe he'll talk to you.
That's true. And also, we'll be giving out a buttload of stickers. We kind of have these, our friends at Sticker Junkie hooked us up with getting us stickers in time for the event. Because like I said, we only had a week. So we have these special stickers that we're only giving away at Motor City Comic Con. It's got kind of like a purpley blue lightning background. So if you want one of these exclusive stickers, just find me at Motor City Comic Con. I'll be passing them out like candy. People won't even be asking for them. I'm gonna like sit there at the urinal and just like hand it to a guy. He's like, what are you doing? Take a sticker.
It's like, it's exclusive,
it's
sir.
It's
exclusive.
Who doesn't like stickers?
I'm just saying.
You
can put them God knows where.
Yes.
Anywhere.
We had a whole video about fixing shoelaces with them. It's very possible.
It worked. It worked. That was my hand. My hand's famous.
Oh, that's true. So how you doing, bud?
I'm doing well.
Excellent.
Doing well. Doing just, keeping up with life, doing this, doing that. So I couldn't help but notice that Nintendo made an announcement about a new Star Fox game for the Switch 2. Have you heard about this? You know about this?
Yeah. It was Star Fox 64, right? Like they're remaking it for Switch.
Right. And what's funny is I've heard through, like, because I guess I don't know my lore. I only know Star Fox 64. But evidently, this is going to be technically like the third or fourth remake of the same game. I guess it was an older game than Star Fox 64 was actually technically a remake of that. And then they remade that again for one of the last consoles. And now this is the same story once again. You have to save Lilac from Andross. And it's, you got your same crew. And so,
I don't know, man.
I'm excited for it. I saw the gameplay teasers that they showed. Obviously, the graphics are really incredible. But I do have to say one thing.
Yeah,
I'm getting a little bit of maybe we should, as a fandom, but I know Nintendo won't listen. But Could we not bully them the way that the internet bullied them for Sonic, how they made ugly Sonic look better? Because Fox is a little fugly, and they decided to go with animalistic legs. Their arms and everything still have human hands, right, and everything, but their legs have, like, the weird hind appendage and, like, weird, like, hoof-like style. Like feet.
This is just such weird takes that you're talking about Star Fox and you're like, all right, but the art design.
because like in the movie he had like the cool space boots. Like they even had that in
Super
Mario Galaxy.
If he takes off the space boots, he might have little wolf legs with a little back.
That's true. But
little
I
thumb thing.
I'm just being honest. My first opinion of it was I didn't think it was great.
I don't know. Well, the problem is they're remaking the same thing over and over again. It's like,
yeah.
Do you know how many versions of The Last of Us there are? That game first came out on PlayStation 3. Then they remade it for PlayStation 4. Then they did like HD. Then they remade it for PlayStation 5. I mean, seriously, there's been like 12 versions of the exact same game. And then they re-released the game insultingly by calling it The Last of Us Part 1. They literally just released the damn game with just like, now it's called Part 1. Well, what's different? It's better looking, and we added the DLC as part of the main game. Whoop-de-doo, Basil!
Didn't you see the title? It says Part 1.
Part 1.
Yeah, see? It's different.
Yeah. It also reminds you that there's a Part 2.
That's right.
Yeah, so you can buy it.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
But no.
Hold on, though.
Yeah.
Speaking of Part 2, did you know what I got to see this weekend?
Was it Immortal Kombat?
Exactly. Perfect segue. You're talking about video games. We're talking about Part 2. Yes, Mortal Kombat 2. I liked it. I did. I had a lot of fun with it.
Test your might.
I know I like a lot of movies, but this was Mortal Kombat actually always had a warm spot in my heart from the 1995 one. I saw it as a kid. I loved that movie so much.
Those characters are timeless.
I was just so happy with that, right? And then the first one that came out like a few years ago, it was okay.
But it was okay.
It was okay, but they didn't really have Mortal Kombat. The whole movie was like, Mortal Kombat's coming. And the whole movie, you're like, all right, waiting for Mortal Kombat to start.
It was very much a intro movie.
And then the movie was over, and they're like, Mortal Kombat never started. And you're like, what the hell?
I just love that we got to see Kano's fatality power or whatever, his eye beam, because he wanted an egg roll.
That's what triggered his eye beam in that first
amazing.
One. Well, I don't want to give anything away about the second one, except the fact that I'll say that there's a character named Baraka, who in the game, he's really vicious, got the sharp teeth, and he's got the long blades on his hand. Well, they made him kind of like a character that was like a kind of like a Mad Maxian type character, where he's just all about like honor and fighting and battle, and that's like what he does. And there's this one scene with Johnny Cage that you think is going to go a certain way, but all of a sudden it's funny and it's endearing, and suddenly you're just like, wow, Baraka is my best friend.
No, I
love that, man.
No, I saw your review that you put up on our Instagram.
Yeah.
And I'm very excited. I want to see it. I generally enjoyed the older Mortal Kombat films.
What about the second one too?
Mortal Kombat
Annihilation.
Dude, yeah. They were both great in their own, in their own right.
Annihilation was terrible, but I loved it.
I was young when I saw it. I didn't care. I thought it was sweet. And
I was stupid and young. I made a mistake.
Oh. But for real, I was excited for the last one, and I made the joke that, yeah, like basically the main character's power was he's the bronze kneecap from Fairly Odd Parents. But either way, it was a great story. We got Scorpion, we got Sub-Zero, we got a bit of the lore in there, and so I am excited to see what they do here, because I'm sure it's going to be a lot more, like you said, more action-packed than the first one, which the first one wasn't that action-packed.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, it's not so much that it wasn't action-packed as it was they just didn't have the tournament. Is that
right? Yeah.
Well, the thing with that first movie, Cole Young played the main character, and he was a descendant of Scorpion, and he had this power where if he gets hit, it like charges him up, and he gets stronger the more he gets hit.
Yeah.
Well, he is in the second film, and he's definitely not the main character, but it's not like they completely abandoned that story. He's just like to the left. Oh, that guy.
Oh, yeah. Well, in that, because he is a made-up character to the franchise, right? Yeah. He didn't exist in the video games.
No,
not that I remember.
Originally for the movie, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I understand that they probably didn't know what to do with him.
Well, it's not so much they didn't know what to do with him, in my opinion. I think it was more to do with the fact that fans like you and like other fans were just like, meh, who's this guy?
It was a big meh.
Meh. But, yeah, solid. I saw it at MJR, which is my local theater. Love that place. 10 locations in Southeast Michigan. And if you're in the Michigan area and you get a chance, definitely check out MJR Theaters. And here's why. It's more fun at
MJR. Make the most of your movie-going experience by upgrading to an MJR Premier Plus Rewards membership today. Earn even more points toward free tickets and concession discounts. Plus, enjoy a free birthday reward, waived online booking fees, and a free ticket just for signing up. Head to mjrtheaters.com or any MGR Theaters box office to upgrade to a Premier Plus membership today.
Well, guys, thank you, MJR. Go to MJR if you get a chance. But also, a lot happened during that commercial break. So during that, for you guys, we apparently figured out some technical difficulties, so hopefully we won't have any more lagging that you may have noticed. So that's taken care of. Also, Ryan was very excited because one of his favorite old bands. Just tell him so you can get out of your system.
Yeah, dude. All Shall Perish. just announced that they are coming together to do a anniversary tour for The Price of Existence, which is an amazing album of theirs. And I'm quite excited. Looks like they're going to be at St. Andrew's Hall in September.
That's fantastic.
So yes. I'm going to be making my way there. It's very exciting. He's been doing the vocals for Suicide Silence after the death of Mitch Lucker, and which was, you know, a big hit to the deathcore community.
Sure.
So this is exciting. That's good news.
Awesome. So good news for all you metalheads out there.
Honestly, everybody loves All Shall Perish. Let's face it. Everyone does. Anyone who's worth their salt and a bit of a metalhead, you know at least The Price of Existence. The song Wage Slaves, mwah, chef's kiss. Chef's kiss.
Fair enough, man. Well, you know what? I feel like that's a good segue. Let's just jump into our first section, which is, of course, spooky stuff. Guys, like we mentioned at the beginning of the show, we're covering the chort.
The chort.
I keep wanting to say court. But anyways,
it is the chort.
The chort, which is a crazy Ukrainian demon that we're going to tell you all about right now on this week's
Spooky Stuff.
This week on Spooky Stuff, we are diving into Ukrainian folklore to talk about the chort, a demonic figure tied to darkness, temptation, deception, and mischief.
Mischief is the best word ever, because it sounds playful until you realize, oh, he's mischiefing with, like, your limbs.
Well, I'd say that's a bit more troublesome. Mischief. Than mischievous.
Courts will be courts.
Leave my limbs alone.
That is.
In the Ukraine, chort is basically tied to the idea of the devil, a demon, or an unclean spirit. But in folklore, the chort is not always treated like one single big Satan-style figure. A chort can be more like a category of demonic creature. A nasty little force of chaos that lurks around the edges of human life, waiting for someone greedy, foolish, lonely, or arrogant enough to pull itself into its existence.
Yeah, kind of feels like a little bit of like the fairy folk, you know what I mean? Like the little tricksters, where it's just like, oh, you got me again, you damn elder god.
So let's see. And that is one of the things that make the chort so interesting. This is not just a monster that jumps out of the woods and eats you. The chort is sneakier than that. It tempts. It bargains. It disguises itself. It tricks people into thinking they are getting exactly what they want. Right before the whole thing turns into a spiritual customer service nightmare.
Damn you, telemarketer!
No!
But for real, it's kind
that's, of... That is truly demonic.
Yeah, well, it's like the Stephen King book, Needful Things, right? Where he had the pawn shopper come in and buy these items. The evil pawn shop, the evil let's make a bargain.
I just think of Rick and Morty spoof on that with the devil. He's like, yeah, because when I sell things, they actually work because I'm not a hack.
You know, to be fair, he was making fun of the Stephen King.
Exactly, yeah. So descriptions of the chort vary, but it is commonly portrayed as a small, dark, horned creature with glowing eyes, claws, a tail, and animal-like legs or hooves. In many stories, however, the chort disguises itself as a human. It may appear as a well-dressed gentleman or traveler, blending into ordinary life while hiding something unnatural beneath the surface.
I'm just imagining this dude in like the Ninja Turtle-style brown trench coat and hat. He's walking around, he's, doctor, doctor, don't pay no attention, doctor, doctor, doctor.
I like it. No, I like it. No, yeah, no.
Okay, fine. Mimic, okay? When the cockroaches, is that better for you, Ryan?
Mimic's pretty good.
We'll go with the Guillermo del Toro movie.
Because let's face it, yeah, Raphael wasn't hiding from nobody. Like, the fact that he was able to, I get it, it's a movie theater, right? That's the whole thing. But someone's going to look over and be like, what the fuck is
No, that? I think the joke was it's New York and no one was surprised. Like the cab driver would be like, what was that? Look like a turtle in a trench coat.
That's right. They didn't even comment on it.
It's fine. So maybe that's what the chort's doing, man. He's just like, don't worry about it.
You know?
Yeah, I'm cool.
You know, but it sounds like they're not that great at it. According to Ukrainian folklore, the disguise usually contains a flaw. Maybe it has a squinting eye.
Yeah.
Maybe under those fancy boots, it does not have normal human feet at all. It might have horse legs, chicken legs, hooves, or some other animal feature it is trying very hard to hide.
I kind of like the idea of like tentacles. You know what I mean? Like from like a squid or something, and they just kind of go into the shoe and wrap around and kind of go up, back up the pant leg, and it's just like, it's not his description. There's no way the chort has tentacles.
There's a tentacle in my boot.
Every time you think of elder gods, probably because of, H.P. Lovecraft, you always think of the tentacles, right? But that's very different than the Ukrainian chort. I was trying to think of what could be under the pants, right? Because what are you hiding? What are you hiding? The hooves? The squinty eye? You can't really go with the squinty eye. So maybe they just had something in his eye.
And that's why it says here, it's honestly a great rule of folklore. If a mysterious, charming stranger offers you wealth, power, or romance, and he refuses to take off his boots, run.
Absolutely. That's why when I make a deal with anyone, they have to drop their pants.
Or they'll just kind of...
It is just a rule.
They might just think that you're in defeat. I don't know.
Oh, with the boot thing? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or they're just like, you do realize that's not where they put the wire.
Right.
Yeah.
No, that's not where the wire goes.
Anywho.
The chort is...
Don't be fooled, guys. But here's the thing. And nowadays, if someone comes up to you and offers anything, whether you notice something weird or not, right? Like whether you're still going to question it. We get hit every day with telemarketers and scams on Facebook and everything else. Are you going to believe a guy who walks up and he's like, hey, you want that Ferrari?
I do.
I got a deal for you.
What kind of deal?
Well, I mean, that's his whole mystery.
I was ready to play this out.
All right. Well, you know what? I wasn't prepared for the amount of improv you were prepared for at this time.
So the chort is strongly connected to temptation and manipulation. In folk tales, it often approaches people with offers of wealth, power, success, or help in exchange for something valuable. These bargains never end well. The chort represents the danger of greed, dishonesty, and taking shortcuts through dark means. Some stories describe chorts tricking villagers by making worthless objects appear valuable. Leaves and sticks may look like money or treasure. A person thinks they have gained riches only to discover they have been fooled. This is the classic chort behavior. It is not just, I will hurt you. It is, I will make you embarrass yourself while hurting you.
Right? It's like, ah, look at that asshole. Thought he had a 20.
Well, you know, no, I mean.
Don't you think he's so stupid?
I feel like I'd fall for a chort.
Right?
I feel like I would, because they're going to trick you. So it's going to be like, oh, look at this wonderful new Star Wars helmet. It's so grand and glorious. Oh, it's Enoch from Ahsoka, the helmet you've been waiting for. I'm like, oh, my God, dude, thank you. And then it just ends up being a piece of horse poop.
Yeah, no, you sit there like, Joe, look at my new helmet.
And I'm putting it on.
Yeah, and there's literally like poop dripping down the side of your face. You look like Rudy Giuliani in that famous photo with the leaking hair dye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
or Joe Dirt. I got the poo on me. That's
right. Yep.
Anywho, for me, it was like, I always go for money on the ground. So I would fall for that. I would walk up and be like, oh shit, there's a 20 or oh, whatever, you know, like, hey, cool. I did find a $5 bill at the theater the other day in the parking lot. You know what I did?
What?
I tipped the bartender.
Very nice.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. I like that. Just, if you ever, complete side note, if you ever happen to be, you know, just happen to find yourself at the gathering of the Juggalos, do not.
As one does.
Do not pick up money on the ground.
Is it a joke they play?
Poop dollar.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's what I heard that's what they do.
People wipe their butts with the dollar.
Mm-hmm. And then they stand by and wait for someone to pick it up. And then they all yell, poop dollar.
We got a classy show, Ryan.
I'm just letting y'all know what to look out for at the Gathering of the Juggalos.
If you happen to just find yourself at the Gathering of the Juggalos.
Like, you know, it was a beautiful day. I was enjoying the sunshine, and I just happened to end up...
With a poop dollar.
With a poop dollar at the Gathering of the Juggalos. But there is Faygo, plenty of it.
That's true. So if you like, regional sodas, got something for you there. How did this get into the Gathering of the Juggalos? Go back to the
chort. That was my fault. And that almost makes the chort funny that he just embarrasses you.
we jump back. What?
Right. Well, you know, because that it's not just
because he's tricking
hurt
us.
You.
Yeah.
So he's going to trick you. I'm going to embarrass yourself while hurting you.
Sorry, I got completely thrown.
No, I understand. they tend to do that, and that almost makes the short funny until you remember the whole soul stealing part. Don't worry about that. Folk demonology also places the chort in locations believed to be spiritually dangerous or unclean. Crossroads, swamps, abandoned places, cemeteries, and isolated roads at night. These were considered spaces where evil spirits were more likely to appear and influence the living. In some Slavic traditions, chorts can be outwitted. They are not always portrayed as all-powerful. Sometimes the demon becomes the fool. A clever hero can trick the trickster, win back your soul, escape a bargain, or force the chort to perform some impossible labor. That gives these stories a great folkloric balance. And I always do love that with any folklore is a lot of these creatures can be tricked. Yeah. Like I forget what other one. It's like if you just throw a bunch of sticks on the, it has to count them.
I think a vampire has to count rice. Like if you throw rice on the ground, a vampire has to count all the rice.
I think so. That's one of them. So there's a lot of that where you can trick them because they're OCD
reason. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, it all makes sense. It's like they hang out in crossroads and swamps, things like, I mean, that's where you hear those stories. I'm with you. That's where a chort would be. And, the riddling kind of creatures. It seems like fairies and monsters and demons, they love riddles, right? I'm pretty sure you could challenge them to any kind of riddle contest or music playing contest, and they're like, all right. It's like the devil at the crossroads with the fiddle, right? I don't know.
Yeah, no, and I kind of always took it, like, even, like, since I was young, that, like, they're just bored. Bored, like, right? They don't die. They just live on.
Maybe they live forever and get bored.
They get to mess with us whenever they get a shot, you know what I mean? So, like, that's where I feel like a lot of these stories come is just from a maddening demon creature thing that is just losing its mind out of boredom. So it's just doing these crazy things.
Hang out in the Fae. Just stay there. You don't have to come here and mess with us humans. But if you do, I get it. We are fun.
Well, I was about to say, we're pretty fun.
We get so mad.
We really do.
You brought me to a different century.
Yeah, we get all of our bunches in a twist. You know what I'm saying?
I thought this leaf was a dollar, and now there's poop on it.
Poop. Hello. So, the chort is dangerous, but not unbeatable. Evil is scary, but it can also be stupid. Sometimes the demon loses.
That's just a funny statement.
And I think I put it perfectly. So sometimes the demon loses because the human being is smarter, braver, or simply, like Joe, more stubborn. So these guys ain't got nothing on you.
Excellent.
They ain't got nothing on Joe. Because, stubborn is it. That's all you need. Still, I love you. Still, Ukrainian folklore treats these forces seriously. The chort belongs to the world of unclean spirits, and protection matters. Common protections include prayer, crosses, blessed objects, protective herbs, or folk practices meant to keep evil away from the home.
Okay, so the folk practices definitely is vague, like, or other things. It's like, all right, fair enough.
I guess whatever, I guess that means whatever your custom when it comes to
putting away evil spirits.
Blessing a home.
They do say a lot of it is the energy you put into, like, the faith of what you're doing and not the actual thing you're doing. So it doesn't matter if you are pagan, Christian, or anything else. It's about the energy you're putting into the belief. And that's really what's causing it to happen.
Reminding me of the old school It movie, the one with Tim Curry, where he's like, this is battery acid. And he like sprays him with his inhaler.
Inhaler, yeah.
And it worked
because
he believed it.
That's how it works.
Interesting. That's what that reminded me of.
Well, I like it.
Awesome. I like it too. So.
Chort. That's the long and short of it.
How long you been waiting?
That just popped my head.
Okay.
It wasn't that great.
Really?
I should have waited for a better time.
That was perfect. That was the perfect segue.
Yes. Because
I finally found my place.
All right.
Some stories also connect protection with recognizing the chort's disguise. Look at the feet. See, this is where I feel like people who are really afraid of the chort, everyone just thinks they're really into feet.
Yeah. Quentin Tarantino has never been tricked by a chore.
No, dude, the chore ink.
Got nothing on that guy.
Dude, I was about to say, yeah, Quentin Tarantino is officially safe from the chore.
It's true.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, good to know.
That is the take.
There you go, guys. There you go. You heard it here.
That's a clip I'm going to put before the beginning of the episode.
That's right. Yeah. Here, Earthling Entertainment, you heard it first. Breaking news. Quentin Tarantino will not be taken by a chore because he loves feet. Anyways. I just had to clarify. Excellent. So watch for the limp. Notice the hidden horns. Do not ignore the one weird detail that gives the monster away. That may be the creepiest thing about the chort, is it's not some beast in a cave. It's the wrongness inside the ordinary. The stranger who is too charming. Like yours truly.
Yeah.
The deal that is too perfect. The shortcut that costs too much.
So the takeaway is, if someone is slightly different than you, ostracize them.
That's right. You heard that first. All right.
Not that. But if they do have goat legs, maybe not take their deal. But I would hope I wouldn't have to tell you that already.
Right.
Yeah.
I would hope. I mean,
it really depends on what they're offering, I guess. Because if you want something sinister, you might be like, oh, it's half goat. Yeah, that makes sense. It's a demon. Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. I did want world domination.
Might be cool with this.
Yeah.
You know, this might be a good road to go down.
Oh,
you might want to go down that road.
You don't want to go down that road.
What if I do want to go down that road? Here I go. So this week, as we partner with Ortacraft, bringing their own chort-inspired creation to life, we are not just talking about a horned little demon. We're talking about a creature that represents temptation, trickery, disguise, and the old warning that evil does not always arrive screaming. Sometimes it smiles. Sometimes it offers you exactly what you want. And sometimes, if you are paying close attention, you might hear the faint sound of hooves under a very nice pair of boots. Oh my God.
Dun, 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 dun.
The chort.
Don't make shitty deals.
With a Ukrainian demon.
Yeah, well, fair enough.
You know, like, I don't know about you, but I kind of wrote that off a long time ago. I'm not making deals with a Ukrainian demon.
I gotta be honest. The older I get, show up, demon. We'll talk. I'm running out of time.
Let me know how that goes.
Yeah, I want some cool shit in life. I'm getting older. We'll see. What do you want? We'll talk.
So, guys, that's what we have for you this week on our spooky stuff. Feel free to...
Hope I didn't invite some mischief.
Feel free to go ahead and invite all of your mischief into our email, which is earthlingentertainmentpodcast@gmail.com. We always invite you guys, please, to hit us up with any cryptid that we haven't covered yet. Maybe something that you've seen. Please let us know. That's our email. And yeah, thanks for tuning in for this week's spooky stuff. So I think that might bring us into our next segment.
Absolutely. Oh, and one last thing, though. Guys, if you like the creature we were just talking about, Ortacraft, check them out on Instagram. Check them out everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I check mean, them out.
Obviously, the photos that you see on this episode and the photos on the thumbnail and pretty much everything we're doing to advertise this episode is from them. It's their photo shoot. All that cool stuff that you're seeing, all the images, they've created, and they're things you can buy from their store. We mentioned it earlier, but it's in our episode description, where a direct link to their store, and
that's right, go to Ortacraft for all of your shamanic demonism. brutality.
Well, you know what, they're doing this stage show now, right? They mentioned that.
Yeah,
that's entertaining.
Oh yeah, they do body art, you name it, dude. Like, and they make everything themselves, and yeah, like Joe said, it's go ahead and check that out, their Instagram. You can probably buy some of this stuff. It's really cool.
Oh, you absolutely can. But I was trying to segue into the whole doing things on stage being entertaining. Let's move into our entertainment section.
Where?
But thank you for continuing to try to plug.
I did try.
Greetings, future foundlings. I am Quentin.
And I'm Emily, and we are the hosts of the Missing Role Player Found Actual Play podcast. We offer intense roleplay, fully edited, immersive audio that will place you alongside us in our grand adventures.
Like in SAO, The Antithesis of Darkness, our series where if you die in the game, you die in real life.
That's right, we kill our players.
It's a humble beginnings to high fantasy isekai adventure where average people become legendary heroes.
But if you're more interested in post-apocalyptic science fantasy drama where humanity has been thrust back into the Middle Ages, then help us search for relics of bygone civilizations.
Because we can't find them.
In the Gate Chronicles.
Together, our cast and crew, we are Missing Role Player Found, an immersive, narrative-driven, actual play podcast with a catalog of different shows and more on the way. That's Missing, R-O-L-L, Player Found. So pull up a chair and join us on a grand adventure.
It was good.
And I lost it.
Well, guys, we're jumping into the next part of the show, which is
the Earth Pop Report. Talking about everything to do with Earth pop culture.
Woo! Here we go.
I got the news for yous.
He's got the news. All the news.
You want to hear the news? Here's the news. So, Ryan, do you remember Rings of Power on Amazon?
Unfortunately, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
No, it's fair. A lot of people didn't like that first season. You're not alone. I know you never gave the second season a chance.
I know. You said it's really good.
That's what won over a lot of the fan base. All right. Well, anyways, The Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power Season 3 is going to be premiering. We got a date. November 11th on Amazon. It is cool. And this one is going to focus on the war between Sauron and the elves. Like, it started. Like, that big war at the beginning of the Lord of the Rings movie where it was, like, the last battle. This is the beginning of it this season. So I'm pretty excited. November 11th.
The beginning of the last.
Hey, if you are a Lord of the Rings fan, this is good. I really did like the Rings of Power. The problem with the Rings of Power is they have to pick and choose things from mythologies, from the writings of Tolkien, but they can't take everything because there was, like, rights issues with certain characters or certain events. So they have to take all of this stuff that takes place over like millions of years in the Tolkien universe and be like, okay, well, instead of that being 90 years, that was like a week. Instead of that being 200 years, that was like 10 years. You know, they're moving timelines around, but they're making it work because they're using all the events of the Silmarillion. Well, I shouldn't say all. They're not making stuff up completely. It's fun. It's fun. It's like fan fiction.
Right? That sure says.
Lord of the Rings. I don't know. I'm a big fan. If you guys liked any kind of Lord of the Rings, I definitely think you should give it a chance. And if you gave it a chance, but you never revisited season two like Ryan.
That's me.
Give it a chance, guys.
My precious.
But here, it's a good segue. I'm going to jump into something that I never gave a chance. I never cared about Breaking Bad.
Not my show. I liked it.
Everyone did. And I'm not a crime guy and I'm not a courts guy and I'm not like, it's, I don't like real life drama stuff. I don't like, there's nothing for, besides Kristen Ritter as just an actress, there's nothing in that show for me. Well, Aaron Paul, really good actor. I was unaware of him because I didn't watch Breaking Bad until much later, but I do like him and he just joined the cast of Fallout 3.
No kidding.
Yeah. So season three of Fallout's going to have Aaron Paul.
Oh,
I hope he says bitch a lot.
Dude, that's awesome. Yeah. And I love how he got like the little cameo in The Office and he sells Creed some drugs.
Does he?
That he totally does. There was one episode. It was like the beginning of the episode. He just comes in as Jesse from Breaking Bad. It's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying Breaking Bad was a bad show. I'm saying I didn't personally care about it. Yeah, at all. And there was so many people who did. And it was a cultural icon. So, like, Aaron Paul, you know what's funny? You know what the first thing I ever saw Aaron Paul in? You're not going to believe this. The Need for Speed movie.
No idea.
Need for Speed's a video game. They made a movie. Aaron Paul starred in it. There's not much you need to know.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm filled in.
Yeah, you are. And did you ever hear of that movie before?
No.
That was the cultural impact.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, video game movies aren't always good. You know what, though? The Gran Turismo. I digress. That's not important.
Digressing.
Let's talk about more casting news.
Let us.
You know Alan Grant from Jurassic Park?
Boy, howdy.
Sam Neill?
Uh-huh.
The dude from Event Horizon?
That guy?
Well, he's finally joining the Monsterverse!
It's about time.
I'd say so.
You know?
So I'm sure everybody knows, but Legendary Pictures does the Monsterverse. The Monsterverse is the Godzilla and King Kong movies. And so Sam Neill will be joining them in the next film. The next Godzilla X Kong sequel, whatever that's going to be called. Yeah, alongside, what is this? Caitlin Dever and returning Dan Stevens. So I guess they were in the last ones. Those movies blend together for me.
They do for me too. I honestly, I think I've seen them all. I think, but like, I don't know. They kind of all, yeah, I agree with you.
Well, it's funny because I know Godzilla, it was 2014, and I know Godzilla King of the Monsters, which was the sequel. Yep. And then I know Kong Skull Island.
Kong Skull Island was right. My favorite.
Fair enough. Well, then they did one where they were together. Like, I don't know if it was Godzilla vs. Kong, but then it was Godzilla X Kong. And everything since Godzilla and Kong have been together, I do not remember. It's right. Like three films that blend together.
Because that was when they did, like, the Hollow Earth theory.
Yes.
Was with that one after Skull Island. So I know I've seen that.
Sure.
But yeah, that's where it gets fuzzy. And I saw Godzilla Minus One or whatever.
Sure, that has nothing to do with this.
Right, right, but that one was awesome.
But Godzilla Minus One is a great film, and they're going to be a sequel to that called, or a prequel called Godzilla Minus Zero.
Which is cool, yeah.
Is, or is it a sequel?
I don't know.
When you start going backwards, Godzilla's everywhere. And apparently Sam Neill's going to be there.
I mean, if you've got big dinosaur-like creatures, you might as well have Sam Neill.
Can you imagine him with a torch, like, he can't see you if you don't... Brr! He just gets stepped on.
Turns out he could see you.
Oh, yeah. Or he didn't have to see you. He was just walking. Oh, man. But hey, I actually have some really, really good news. And this is moving on to the next topic. Sam Neill aside. You know I love Friday the 13th.
I know.
Obviously.
I do, too.
Crystal Lake is the prequel series that Peacock is putting out with A24. Mm-hmm. And Linda Caldellini, I believe, is going to be playing Mrs. Voorhees. Anyways, we reported a few episodes ago, maybe even 2 months ago.
It's been a while, yeah.
Yeah, that it was coming out late December, right?
Right.
They moved it up. Apparently, this was so smart. It's coming out for the Halloween season.
Yep.
October 15th, we're going to get the beginning of the Crystal Lake series.
They literally just gained so many more eyes just because of that. Anybody who's anybody will be like, well, I'm going to watch.
Yeah.
I feel like it's got to be a scramble for October for any horror.
Well, you want to release it at that time. It'd be like releasing a Christmas movie in February. It's like,
yeah, maybe Christmas in July. Maybe?
I don't know. Well, yeah, at least that's a thing. Like, but maybe? Crystal Lake, very excited about it. I don't know what else to say, man. I really do want to see this, but I don't know what it's going to be about because it takes place. Well, I guess I do know what it's going to be about. It's going to be Jason. He's going to drown. His mom's going to be pissed off. Kill all the counselors, and then the last scene of the show should be the beginning of the first movie.
To me, right? What I want to see, yeah, but what I want to see is the process of him living in these woods, right? Because that's what it was explained around the campfire in one of the first Friday the 13th by the counselor to everybody, and he explained that, you know, he didn't really die. And he kind of ended up coming out and he lived. Because I remember being young and I forgot about that. I thought he was like a zombie.
Sure.
Well, but he is later. Yeah, he is later. Yeah.
No, but what you're talking about could be like a second season or a third season. Because what do you do after this first season? Because it's got to be a limited series or something like that.
Yeah, where we see him living.
And surviving.
Figuring out, yeah, how to get food. Like, so right, so he's probably raiding local grocery stores at night, right? Probably
so you like, see, like
he's
this feral
do.
Little mongoloid
I
child.
Do. And then he like runs into like obviously a cop gets involved.
And he wasn't suddenly murdering people, right? So he's gotta like kill people, not maybe unwillingly at first, but,
out of
like,
necessity.
But become yeah. We're writing our own show, man.
That's what I'm saying.
Screw like, Crystal Lake. We got our own version.
That's what I'm saying is, to me, that's what would be interesting. What happened between this young boy who we thought, who his own mother was convinced drowned and died,
yeah.
And to this adult with a sack on his head killing teens.
To be fair, he looks like, different in every episode.
Right.
Every episode, but, every movie.
Yeah, but I mean, that was the start, right? But then he gets hung. At the end of that movie, wearing the burlap sack on his head, and then he comes back, and that's when he gets the mask from the nerdy guy.
He gets his head cut off in the second movie, doesn't he?
Was it the second?
Okay, it doesn't matter. I think you're getting too into that, buddy.
No, I'm pretty sure. No, he gets hung at the barn. They hang him.
No, that's the third movie.
Was that the third?
Yes, the second. Dang. The second movie was, right, was Ginny with the machete, and she has the head of Mrs. Voorhees behind her, and she's like, "Look at me, Jason."
Evidently, I'm at Thursday the 12th. I'm not quite at Friday the 13th yet. Okay.
Fair enough.
So
I love it. I love it. Well, anyways, we got to move on. Anyways, Ryan, you know what else they're expanding? Because I know you love expanded universes. You're just a huge fan.
I just give me more. Please stretch it as far and thin as you can.
All right. Well, if 11 Fast and the Furious movies weren't enough, Diesel has announced that they are making a Fast and Furious television series with Peacock. Actually, only one has been greenlit, but Vin Diesel actually said there's going to be like four.
Is it going to be Fast?
Yes, it will. I heard it will be Fast. Unfortunately, due to the ratings, it's only going to be half of Furious. So it's going to be Fast and...
So like Fast and Irritated.
Yeah.
I like it. Fast and Irritated.
Fast and Perturbed.
Fast and Bothered.
Those movies were fun. They're dumb. They're
horrifically dumb.
Honestly, if you put Speed Racer, the Wachowski movie Speed Racer, and you just wrote Fast 12, you would believe it by the progression of believability from the first movie to the last one.
I believe it right now. Ha ha.
Ha ha.
But no, I'll never forget. I think it was we were seeing Guardians of the Galaxy 3 and Fast and the Furious X played a preview. We were silent through the whole preview, and it ended. We about fell onto the floor because it was so hilariously bad.
It was a little
bad.
Over the top.
It was so bad.
But is that the charm of the film?
I think so.
Because there's like Delta Force with Chuck Norris from Canon Films in the 80s, and that wasn't a good movie, but you're just like, yeah! Delta Force!
There is definitely an audience for it, right? Because it keeps doing decent, but just, I'll never forget at the end. I died. I'm like, oh my God, I am Stan from that episode of South Park. Everything is crap.
Oh my
like,
God.
Just
fair enough. Well, you know what, Ryan? Not everything is crap.
I know.
Some things are good. It just turns out that they're just re-releases of old things because everything new is crap.
Why not? We got nothing else new to come up with. Let's just dig back into the vault.
Yeah, there you go. Well, one of my favorite werewolf movies, and I know you said you're not a huge fan of this, but one of my favorite werewolf movies back in the day was Ginger Snaps.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Ginger Snaps was kind of like big in the Hot Topic crowd at the time.
It was big.
It was good. It was a good film. They made three of them. Well, the first one has kind of been MIA just from distribution for the last few years. Well, they're releasing a 25th anniversary version of it. I'm very happy to say they are, and it's going to have, let me see here. 25th anniversary 4K release drops on May 19th, 2026, featuring new artwork, commentary tracks, and bonus features.
And it will be in 4K.
4K! It wasn't shot in 4K, but somehow we've turned it into 4K.
Why not?
No, dude, I'm really happy.
That's exciting.
I've already pre-ordered it.
No, that's awesome. No, I'm excited for you, dude. Maybe I was just... I need to watch it again.
That was good.
I will watch it again.
Ah,
what do you got there? Ooh.
Yeah, see, I've kept the DVD for so long because it wasn't released in too many forms. And I have a Blu-ray of it, too.
Messy.
Like, yeah.
So I feel like a lot of the grab was, we got two goth girls on the front.
Yes.
Ginger Snaps.
But also, when it came out, we were in high school, so that wasn't creepy.
No, not
it
at all.
It was like attractive goth girls in high school who turn into werewolves.
No, oh, yeah. Man.
And it was only later that we realized it was a metaphor for basically puberty and becoming a woman.
Like in the studio. like,
I don't know what to tell you. It's a good werewolf movie.
That
but
was
yeah,
the
there's,
studio.
There's undertones that weren't meant for me. I will say that.
Like, talk to Johnson. He's got kids. What are your kids into? Hot Topic. Oh, well, we got it.
Yes.
Send it. Send it.
So I'm excited. May 19th, I got it pre-ordered, and you should, too. It is a great film. Ginger Snaps, good movie. Ginger Snaps 2 has nothing to do with our story, but did you know a young Tatiana Maslany was in it? The chick who plays She-Hulk.
No.
It was one of her first roles. She had weird bleach blonde hair. She played a character named Ghost who was mentally disturbed in a drug rehabilitation clinic. It was really cool.
And that was the second Ginger Snaps?
That was the second one. It was called Ginger Snaps Back.
Oh, that's right. No, I never saw it.
Never saw it? No, I'm sorry. I'm wrong. It was Ginger Snaps 2 Unleashed. Ginger Snaps Back was the third one.
Oh.
And here's the catch. They went back in time. It wasn't time travel. It was just like a retelling of the first movie if it had taken place in the 1800s. It was like the same two girls, but, you know.
Like kind of like almost like a another life.
Kind of
thing.
It was slightly implied that they were ancestors of the girls, but that's impossible because the way it ended was like, well, they wouldn't have children.
So they were reincarnated. So the first Ginger Snaps is like the reincarnation of these.
You know, this is the kind of questions that the movie was trying to ask, Ryan.
Well, it should have answered it.
I agree. Oh, man. All right. So another thing that is kind of surprising for me, I guess Deadline reports that Hocus Pocus 3 is finally happening. I thought
I liked the second one.
That aside, I'm just surprised because I thought it was already happening. So when they announced it was happening, I guess they had stopped at some point, but now they're back on.
Honestly, I'm all about it. Other than the whole gigantic Walgreens
commercial
yeah, for the second one,
yeah.
I honestly thought that movie was great. I thought they killed it.
You know what's funny is I really liked the sequel. They wrote a sequel and it was in novel form. And yes, I was actually looking for it on the show.
I knew. I saw you looking. Joe's got all these. He's like, "Where are my book over here? When are we going over
here?" No, really. Seriously, they made a Hocus Pocus sequel. This book was a lot better than that sequel of the movie they made. This brought back the original characters, and they were sent to hell, and they had to be saved. It was pretty awesome.
I love the name of it. And the sequel.
And the all-new sequel.
That is the sequel.
Yeah. Well, apparently it wasn't sequel enough, because people were not like, "Oh, we're going to make this into a movie."
Because it's all new.
Because when Disney makes novelizations and they say this is canon, they're fucking lying. They lied about all the Star Wars stuff. They lied about this. They're probably gonna lie about any. I'm sorry.
Let it out. Let it out, dude. Nah. They've wronged us. We are the victims here.
Several times, man.
That's right.
And I keep falling for it. I keep being like, no, this one really happened.
It's not your fault.
It's not my fault.
It's not your fault.
It's not my fault. Oh, man. Well, we just got a couple last things on the docket. So Matthew Lillard has been announced that he is going to be in the new Superman movie. James Gunn posted on his social media that Matthew Lillard is joining Superman Man of Tomorrow in an undisclosed role.
Dude, that's so exciting.
It is. Everyone is saying he's going to be Plastic Man. And
he's probably going to be a bad guy.
Well, here's the thing. Plastic Man is a character that he would have played in like the early 2000s around Scooby-Doo time. Not now. He's just too old. Unless you want to make the character older, which I guess you can. But it's a weird fit. If anyone, the villain's supposed to be Brainiac. Why don't you make him Brainiac? I hope he's the villain.
I feel like with Matthew Lillard's just height, and he doesn't like, he's not like wrinkly. Well, so, like, they can make up him up. They can make him look however age they want.
I mean, he does have the body type of Elongated Man. Or
he's super, super tall. I told you, I literally ran into him at the Motor City Nightmares. Literally ran into him.
Physically, yes.
Yeah.
And he went.
Yep, and he was, like, this tall. Like, it was insane. And fair, I'm 5 foot five, so I get it. I'm really short, but my God, I hurt my neck.
God.
Like being like, holy crap, it's Matthew Lillard.
So it is kind of cool that you actually got to see him though.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. He was a nice guy.
Well, did you ever want to see Jamie Presley? Probably naked.
Maybe.
she played Joyce from My Name is Earl. Was it Joyce? Joy. He played Joy from My Name is Earl.
Yeah. And she was in, oh my gosh, David Spade's movie, Joe Dirt.
Yes.
He was Joe Dirt's non-sister.
Sure. Well, if you've ever wanted to see her naked, there's a good chance you're going to be able to.
Let me guess. OnlyFans.
OnlyFans.
Hey, good for her.
So, Jamie Presley has announced that she is now doing OnlyFans, and I'm sure that Shannon Elizabeth mentioning that she made $1.2 million in a week had nothing to do with it.
Nothing whatsoever.
Nothing at all. I mean, I don't want to look, dude, I can't really talk crap because the truth is if I was being paid to be naked,
yeah,
I would. I'd totally stand there naked to get money.
You hear that, people?
Yeah.
So enough money.
Right. So anyone out there, if you'd like to see me, hit us up at no.
We'll just go ahead and just drop the PayPal.
We need a different.
No,
We're going to start our Patreon.
But no, I actually, not to interrupt, but I did actually hear about this. I listened to a lot. I listened to a lot of different coverages of certain things, and I heard about this. And
what does that mean?
You don't need to know. Right, you don't need to know my sources, Joe.
Fair enough.
But from what I heard, it actually made sense, where it's like...
Of course it does.
Well, think...
She'll make money.
Yeah, but think about it this way. Like, she's had to do other roles, right, where everybody's in charge. Here, she gets to kind of dictate how far it's going to go, what she wants to do.
Hey, I tell you which side of my butt you could shoot.
I'm just saying. No, more power to her.
You are misunderstanding me if you think I am judging. I 100% get it. I get it. I do. And you know what? Why not?
No, yeah. Why not? And sure. And I'm sure she's already been successful, and I'm sure she will see continued success, and who knows, maybe.
Good luck in your continued success.
You know,
good
with
luck
your...
in your continued success.
That's right. That's right.
All right, let's move on.
As she has some person who is not her respond to you in your DMs on OnlyFans. It is not them, people. Just saying.
Yeah, she probably has a team. I mean, if Trissa McBoobs has a team, then Jamie Presley has a team.
I'm going to go out there on that limb and say that that's
You're
not her
probably
talking
not,
to you.
Probably not talking to her,
Just saying, don't fall for it, guys.
Anywho, the final piece of business this week is one very simple, cool thing. Did you know that, and we reported it, so I hope to God you remember, SNL UK, they made an SNL for England. Remember that?
Yes.
They're getting a season two with more episodes.
Dude, good for them.
Good for them. We watched it, me and my wife, and you know what we found out?
Huh.
They can swear. They can drop F-bombs.
They're kind of a little bit more lax.
It was pretty funny because Tina Fey in her opening of the first episode was just like, hey guys, something really cool. We could swear now. And then Michael Cera pops up in the audience and he's just like, just like, oh, Michael Cera.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah, I like that they get the most docile human being in Hollywood to say the first F.
I think that was kind of the point.
I like it. Yeah, very well done. Very well done.
And with that, you know what else is well done? This week's Earth Pop. I'm done. I'm done with it. We're moving on. We're going off planet. We're going to see aliens. To
we
space.
Are.
To space, Ryan.
Oh, haven't we all this week? Here we go.
On this week's...
Disclosure Discussion. Ha 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 ha. It's about aliens and stuff.
All right, guys. Welcome to the Disclosure Discussion portion of the Earthling Entertainment Podcast. And
this one's all about aliens.
That's right. And if you are not living under a rock, you know that it's been one heck of a week here this past week when it comes to...
Yeah, a couple weeks, right?
Disclosure. So I wanted to go ahead and do my best here to fill you guys in case you missed out. The United States government released declassified, unidentified, anomalous phenomena files on May 8th, 2026, following a direct order from the president to fulfill a commitment to maximum government transparency. The president initiated the directive in February of 2026, ordering the Pentagon and intelligence agencies to identify and publish records on UAPs and extraterrestrial life. The release launched a new rolling initiative called PURSUE, standing for Presidential Unsealing and Reporting System for UAP Encounters.
They hired a whole team to come up with that acronym.
They sure did.
15 of the smartest men from Uganda, and then he deported them all. Sorry.
It's got to be a word. So we got to figure this out. And so they have the newly dedicated site now. It is hosted at, this is war.gov/UFO, and you can see all of the released files there. I looked myself.
There's a lot of stuff, and a lot of the stuff reads kind of the same because I mean I don't know, they use the same wording. It's hard.
Yes. Yeah. And so the initial release contains roughly 162 declassified documents, videos, and photos spanning several agencies, including the FBI, NASA, and the Department of Defense.
The FBI.
The Pentagon emphasized that the files represent unresolved cases where data is insufficient to make a definitive determination. Materials include handwritten 1940s reports, audio and imagery from NASA's Apollo 12 and 17 missions, and recent military sensor data from operations in Syria in 2024 and Africa in 2025. All right, so I've got a few things to say about this.
Yeah, I would like to hear them.
So I've seen a bunch of the different videos, the photos. I even read through some of the old letters. And let me tell you, it's pretty boring. Most of it is stuff that we already knew. Like, literally all the letters is talking about flying saucers. Like, what do you think about these flying saucers? There's been a lot of sightings of these flying saucers.
So you're saying, like, they're really old. They're from, like, the 40s and 50s and stuff.
It's from what I was seeing was the 60s.
Yeah,
I was seeing a lot of letters to and from the White House during the 60s. Flying saucers was a big thing. And so that being said,
I mean, if you had all the time in the world to do a deep dive in all of these, and a lot of ufologists are, you know, they're fine tooth comb through every little thing. So I'm sure a lot of the cool stuff is going to come out.
Yeah, you could probably make connections. Okay, so this guy said, because I did, I was looking through and I was trying to no, okay, who sent this and why?
Right on. Ryan's sitting there in his beautiful mind room with the little string on all the pegs.
That's right. I'm Charlie Day over here.
Like, this is all connected, Ryan.
It is, Joe. And so to move on from that, to go to these videos that everybody keeps looking at now, a lot of it is interesting. Like, we get more of these, you know, lack of a better word, balls of light that we see moving. But they are in odd places, and they are making very strategic, it looks like very intelligent movements.
Yeah.
So it seems to be not just some random speck on the screen. And then that brings me to this new star chandelier video.
The chandelier UFO they talked about, yeah.
Everybody's been sharing and saying it's like such a big mystery. And it's even getting to the lengths where certain people in religious places are saying, oh no, that's an angel or a demon.
Sure.
They're
sure.
saying, like, it's
everyone's chiming in.
Biblically accurate angel, right?
Sure.
That is a flare on the end of a parachute that was debunked years back. This is an older video, and I understand why it made this release. I'm sure a lot of people who aren't in the know released it thinking, like, oh my gosh, that looks weird. But I hate when these news station they're releasing it, but they're zooming in only on it. But if you zoom out, you see the parachute. It's literally a flare on a parachute, and what you're seeing is an effect happening to the camera trying to focus in on this flare. And that one I can 100% say debunked. That one is not a real one. There was another photo, black and white, and
so,
it shows,
from what I'm gathering here, is you're completely unimpressed.
I'm fairly unimpressed. I haven't gotten to the impressed yet, but I want to unimpress first, because then another one, because they release these things that have already been debunked, but this is a classic thing they do.
Sure.
They're going to release things that are like, oh, what's that? And then they're going to, of course, release things that if you're in the know, you're like, oh, well, we know that's not true. Like, there's a black and white photo that went viral as well. It's two guys holding the hands of what looks like a little ET.
Sure.
That was in a German newspaper back in a few decades ago. It was a prank, and it got snipped, and it was sent about, you know, being like, oh, this is authentic. It's not. It looks great. Wait, but
they released a bunch of stuff that was like already debunked is the
yes.
kind of bottom line. Is that why there's some big people, Jeremy Corbell, you said, and other people.
Corbell is talking about it. Yeah.
Pretty much just
George Knapp.
This is them giving out crap. Like, this is them not really releasing anything.
It's some of it definitely.
Sure.
But I do want to give credit where credit's due. We did get a few photos from like I said, I think it was Apollo 12 and 17, where on the surface of the moon, boots on the moon, they did see something. Like, there was one with three lights, right? Which is like the triangular UFO, which see here at home. So they saw that in the sky, and that's a huge, huge deal, you guys, because if you don't know, with boots on the moon, for one reason or another, I'm not super smart enough to explain this, they cannot see stars. All they see is the Earth and the sun. That's it. When you're on the surface of the moon, you don't see stars. So the fact that we had these images released,
maybe it's something about the light that gets caught in whatever small atmosphere it has.
Perhaps.
You know, light pollution makes us not see stars on Earth.
Right.
I don't know. I've never heard this. This is fascinating. This is your show. Drive it home. I'm sorry.
And so that, to me, we got a number of images of things in the sky from the surface of the moon. And to me, that is something worth noting, because these are things that they wouldn't see. It wouldn't have been there otherwise if it wasn't something, lack of a better word, artificial. Hmm. Something that shouldn't be there, that is. We even saw there was one image. It was like an elongated blue beam that was looked vertical in shape. And we've even seen such examples here from Earth. So that's another one that I'm like, that's cool. So we did get some things from NASA that I think are true. But we're still not, in my opinion, seeing the goods. Not seeing the goods.
All right.
This is what
we're still getting like
in.
D-level material here.
Yes. Right. And so my whole thing about this is, and why I was trying to tread lightly on covering this week, is that, yes, guys, a lot of these things are debunked, but dive into it yourselves. You can go to, like I said, it's war.gov/UAP. You can go right there. It's all there. I looked through myself, and that's where I found a lot of it. And it's interesting. It's exciting, because this is a step towards more disclosure, which is what we want here on Earthling Entertainment. One of the main reasons we started this podcast was our love for extraterrestrials and UFOs, and trying to get other people as excited as we are.
Yeah, fair enough. That is absolutely true. Whew, that was a pretty good one.
Thanks.
I have nothing to add, man. You pretty much ran the gamut on that. It was good stuff.
I really dove into it because I was like, here we go. I knew it was going to be a lot of this and that. And you know what? For the most part, it is very exciting. Everybody's excited about it. And that's what I love about it, that it gets people talking.
Right on.
That's the most important thing, is that we get away from the taboo.
Fair enough. But I like taboo. I like weird things, Ryan. I like the strange, the creepy. And I mean, that's why we did start this podcast. It's just
true.
We can deal with just living our lives with the more weird stuff. One of my favorite parts is looking up real world weird, the last segment of our show. Which of course is what we're getting into. But like, we've come up with so many, like we found so many just strange things, and I was actually disappointed that this week I didn't get to do it. You did it. You found our real world weird.
This is, I think, the first time I got to do this for it. Maybe second.
Okay.
Maybe?
So everyone, judge Ryan. And
judge me hard.
If Ryan
I like
screws
it.
Up this real world weird, you need to hit us up and tell us at earthlingentertainmentpodcast@gmail.com.
Real world weird.
So every now and then, real world weird kind of feels a little spooky. But here we go. 28-year-old woman impersonates a 16-year-old high school student in New York for weeks.
That doesn't sound spooky. That sounds like she was cast in a film.
It still sounds a little scary to me. Like, you know,
I'm just saying, I watched a lot of those movies where it was like high school students had like full beards, and you're like, you're 37.
I don't know, just the movie Orphan scared the crap out of me. Like people, like older people pretend to be, like, it's scary.
I really like that movie. They're making a third one somehow, even though that the actress, I forget her name, unfortunately, she doesn't look like a child anymore, so it's kind of weird. But
it's based on a true story.
Is it?
Isn't it? Like, the original Orphan. Like that happened.
I don't know. Talk about this Orphan.
So a woman in her late 20s posed as a 16-year-old teenager and attended a New York high school for weeks before being discovered. A 28-year-old New York woman was arrested at school campus in the Bronx and charged with endangering the welfare of a child.
How?
Trespassing. Why? And criminal impersonation.
Okay.
Impersonation.
The second two I get. That's fine. But the first one's bullshit.
You went, well... Well,
she wasn't endangering anyone.
Well, she's a woman in her 20s, late 20s, around a bunch of kids.
So that's not inherently bad.
So you're cool with that? You got your kids in there and some 20-something-year-old psycho?
I mean, I'm not cool with it, but
that's
I'm not
going
to immediately assume she's trying to harm my children.
But you never know.
Yeah, but you never know about anyone. People get like offed by their neighbor.
So she enrolled in the school as a 16-year-old under a fake name. Last month, Casey Klassen enrolled at the Westchester Square Academy as Shamara Rashad, born in 2010, who had just moved to New York from Ohio with her sister. She attended classes for about 2 weeks and was even issued a school ID with her fake name and age. But then someone...
Don't you need like a security card or a birth certificate? Can you just sign up for school? Like, hey, my name's Terry.
We had school IDs.
Yeah, but we had to prove who the hell we were. I mean, there's proof of who you are. You can't just walk up and be like, I'm Greg.
She's good.
Oh, shit, Greg. All
she's right. good. Yeah. But then someone discovered her social media profiles.
I mean,
plural.
To be fair, that's on you. If you're going to impersonate someone, you really got to like delete your Twitter.
And here's where she messed up. Despite going through the trouble of impersonating a 16-year-old, Klassen never bothered deleting her social media posts, or at least to make them private. And they eventually reached the faculty at Westchester Square Academy.
Wait a minute. Wait, one of the teachers is like, bull crap, I have that girl's OnlyFans. Her and J.D. Presley.
Swing, how do you swing that one? Like, how do you bring that up at the meeting?
Yeah, you don't want to just in case you're wrong and she is 16. Then you're both in trouble.
Just happened upon this OnlyFans account.
Yeah, just happened upon it.
Look,
my son was looking it up and I just...
and they're all like, oh.
His son is non-existent. Okay. Yeah. All right, let's just move on.
Oh, this gets darker.
It does.
Now she imagines a child?
What? Just move on.
Oh, my God.
Don't try to play on my joke.
One of the woman's social media pages listed her birth date as July 29th, 1997, and one photo showed her holding a baby girl. In one of her posts, she admits
Is it her baby?
Yes.
Oh.
That she had a beautiful daughter. Repeatedly confronted about her identity, the 28-year-old admitted that she had lied, claiming that a friend had advised her to enroll so she would qualify for more social assistance. It's like, oh, so you're a random child in a high school without any parents or any proof of anything. Here, we'll help you. That doesn't work that way.
I mean, it might. To be fair, she got into the school with just showing up and being like, hey, I'm this person. And they're like, yep, great. Here's some books.
And it's not even in this, but I heard from another article that she was straight up even like dedicated. She was wearing like a schoolgirl outfit, like a stereotypical Britney Spears music video schoolgirl outfit.
That might have been used for other things.
Well,
I don't know.
There might have been a reason why some people turned a blind eye.
I can see that. Like, I don't look like particularly old, but I don't think I could obviously pass for a high schooler, but I always thought it would be fun to be like a never been kissed situation to just show up for a week and be like, hi guys. And like, hello, fellow young people. Like,
you've got more than Barrymore, Joe.
Yeah. Yeah. That's you're right. I was kissed at least twice. I have two kids.
That's
proof.
Right. Proof.
Proof.
Proof. Proof.
All right.
Hey, high five.
Ha! Moving on.
So, police believe that Casey Klassen was trying to cash in on some sort of benefit scheme, but they didn't go into details. The 28-year-old woman was arrested and subsequently released. She has been charged with endangering the welfare of a child.
I don't believe in that one.
Trespassing and criminal impersonation, to which she pleaded not guilty. She expected back in court on June 15th. So
I would only do not guilty to the one. You can't say that you didn't trespass. Like you can't
definitely
say that.
Trespass.
You definitely trespass.
I see.
I don't think you endangered anyone.
I feel like I understand where that comes from is because
I have
you're violating the trust of peers, right? Like, so they assume like your peers should assume that you're their age. You're 28.
Are you telling me there wasn't a single kid in that school being like, she is not 16?
Oh, there was. I'm sure right? There was many dudes and they all were like, shh, 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 shh.
I don't know. Anyways, guys, I got to be honest. We had another real world weird for you, but we are running out of time. So, Ryan, do you think you can do it in about 30 seconds?
Ready?
All right.
French professor investigated in odd hoax after giving himself an award. Being recognized for your work feels good no matter what you do. Unfortunately, the sad fact is that most of us will toil our lives for a paycheck and maybe a thank you. This is what Florent Montclair, a professor of Philology?
Let me see.
Yeah, philology is suspected of having done the bespectacled Frenchman received the gold medal of philology in 2016 in recognition of his life's work. Well, of course he received the award. He invented the medal and the organization rewarding it. To make his new medal seem more valid, Montclair organized events to award a similar medal to other notable academics as well. Later, due to his achievements, he was given a doctorate by an American university, which Montclair also made up. Now, a decade later, French authorities have launched an investigation into Montclair and his imaginary awards, but what crime could he have committed? Well, that's a million-dollar question right there. Nobody is quite sure of what law, if any, Montclair has broken, nor do anybody know why he has concocted such a ridiculously complicated plan just to hand an award to himself. Maybe he just wants to be recognized.
All right, well, you committed.
Maybe. He just wants to be recognized.
So, the takeaway, French guy makes up committees, gives himself awards, and
I don't know if
himself
you do
on the
this.
Back his whole life.
Dude, I'm about to receive the Nobel Ryan Award.
Yes!
I made it myself, dude. Isn't it sweet?
Oh, my God. Oh. Oh.
Oh.
Ryan, I didn't even tell you. I almost knocked this book down. Dude, check us out, guys. So apparently Neil deGrasse Tyson made a book about like how we should talk to aliens if aliens ever show up. My wife got this for me.
No way.
Yeah, dude. Check us out.
Dude.
Signed.
Is that a real signature?
I mean, I think so. Otherwise, they're kind of jerks for saying it's
awesome.
A signed version. Thank you.
Take me to your leader indeed. And his name is Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Haha. You know, we're actually going to see him in like September. I know. I'm pretty stoked.
I'm excited for that.
And with that, we are at the end of the show.
Oh.
Yes, it's happened. It's happened. Guys, thank you so much for being a part of it. And thank you for listening. Please remember to download the episode wherever you listen to this podcast. Downloading the episode is the best way to support the show. But if you catch us on YouTube, just make sure you subscribe or leave a little comment or, you know, thumbs up, any of that good old jargon.
It helps. And remember that this episode was brought to you by Ordacraft at Ordacraft on Instagram. That is Ordacraft. Make sure to check them out. And make sure to please, guys, as always, share this podcast with a friend, with a coworker, with anybody. That's the best way that we really can spread the Earthling cheer is to other Earthlings.
Yeah, man. Honestly, let's just pass it all out. Pass out the love. It's a great show. And thank you for being here. And from all of us at Earthling Entertainment, see ya.
And as always, goodbye.
That's right. You know what, guys? I feel like we've kind of rushed at this end, and they deserve an explanation. Right now, my mother is watching my baby, and she told me I had a hard cutoff, and I have to get that darn baby. So I'm a responsible father.
He is.
And that is why. But hey, guys, see ya.
Call him Daddy Joe.
Ooh. Hey everybody, I'm Andy.
And I'm John. We're the hosts of Zombie Strains, the podcast where we watch all of the zombie movies in chronological order.
It has been a wild ride so far, discovering where and when all our favorite zombie tropes originated. Things like the first cannibal zombies,
Bowery at Midnight, 1942,
the first rage zombie,
Teenage Zombies, 1959,
and the first homicidal zombie,
Dr. Blood's Coffin, 1961.
If you love zombie films as much as we do, join us on Zombie Strains.
Find Zombie Strains on your podcast app of choice.